Thank you. I want to thank the organizers for giving me this chance to talk about some of our work on the structure of solutions and dynamics for lubrication PDE models of thin film fluid dynamics. So this is about, this general field is about the dynamic, describing the dynamics of thin spreading layers of liquids on solid surfaces. And today I'll talk about a particular PDE model that's akin to the equation for liquid dripping from an inverted surface. I guess that would be like liquid dripping from a leaky ceiling, and looking at the ceiling here, we're in good shape, except I guess we have weak gravity because we have cards that floated up to the top of the ceiling and are stuck there. I'll ignore that experimental error, I guess. I'll study particularly what would happen if you did have liquid dripping, and that would be, so initially you have a thin layer of fluid on the solid surface, and then maybe there's a local disturbance and the liquid collects and pools in one place, and then a sufficient mass collects that it wants to drip off. So that, in PDE context, that would be a finite time singularity where the drop extends to a large distance, I guess, or maybe I should, it would be more natural in terms of dripping from a ceiling to draw this picture upside down like that. So this is actual slices from a time evolution, but I'll prefer to draw things right side up, at least for my PDE. So I'll first tell you a little bit about this class of PDEs. These are fourth order equations. It's kind of, you can think of them as generalizations of second order reaction diffusion problems, and I'll talk about how these, how the fourth order equations both carry over lots of effects from classical reaction diffusion, but also allow other things to happen that you don't see, at least in simple scalar problems. And I'll focus today on the blow-up solutions, and this problem will admit a critical mass that's necessary for blow-up, and I can show you how to get that analytically. And the actual dynamics of the blow-up will be given by a nice self-similar solution, and we'll find that there are two classes of self-similar solutions. And I'll end by showing you what you can see about the richness of the dynamics of this problem just from looking at numerical simulations. And I'll show an example where this problem actually leads you in one direction for a while, and then the dynamics turn around and can do something completely different. Okay, so these lubrication equations are derived from low Reynolds number limits of the Navier-Stokes equation for long, shallow layers of fluid. So long, shallow layers of viscous fluid on solid surfaces at low Reynolds number, so very slow velocity, creeping flow, and we will describe the evolution of such a layer in terms of free surface height, h of x and t, and that's going to evolve according to a nonlinear fourth order parabolic equation, and I'll talk about where these two terms come from. So there's one term, so one, the fourth order spatial operator on the right hand side is due to a gradient of the curvature of the surface, and that corresponds to surface tension effects. And this can be derived from lubrication theory for surface tension dominated driven flow. And I have a exponent here, which in general, the mathematical generalization of these models generalize these exponents to be just any positive numbers. The physical fluid dynamics corresponds to the case where n equals 3. The other term in this equation is like a porous media equation, like a porous media term, a gravity-driven spreading term, like what we suspected may happen in that one possibility for the compactly supporting spreading solutions that we saw maybe possibly in the previous talk. But this is the porous media equation. Again, the physical fluid dynamics corresponds to the case where the exponent is m equals 3, but other cases have been considered in connection with different applications in Darcy flow and groundwater and Healy-Shaw flow and other problems. But we don't exactly have this in our equation. We have a minus sign in front of the operator, so this is the backwards in time version of the porous media equation. This is a nice parabolic problem. The backwards in time version is ill-posed, very poorly behaved. So this operator is a problem. This operator is going to help regularize that out.
Yes.
Right, but I'm going to try to believe this equation as long as I can. It's true that the actual breakup, or I mean, this won't predict how a pendant drop actually forms and hangs from the ceiling, but this is suggestive of the fact that this model is leading up to a singularity in finite time, and then after some point, maybe this height, I won't believe the answer anymore, but the fact that an instability will lead to growing amplitude up to there, that's probably reasonable. But yeah, thanks. There are limitations that should be taken with a grain of salt. So the porosity term is going to be destabilizing. The fourth order surface tension is going to be stabilizing. So this is actually, there's going to be a competition between these effects that will allow us to see self-similar solutions come out in the dynamics. And this is really going to be, I'm going to play this up as a higher order analog of blow up in just a semilinear heat equation, where the higher order spatial term gives you diffusive smoothing, and there's a destabilizing reactive lower order term. And later on, when I talk about the self-similar solutions of this problem, that will be strongly influenced by some of the work done on looking at blow-up in this problem by Giga and Cohn. But so the competing influences in this problem are the diffusive smoothing or capillary smoothing versus the ill-posedness of that operator. And for different powers of these exponents corresponding to different strengths of these two terms, you can have different behaviors. If the stabilizing term is much stronger than the destabilizing term, if this power is higher than a certain amount, then we're in the subcritical cases defined by, described by Bertozzi and Pugh. And then the solution exists for all times. Blow up doesn't happen. If this term is much stronger than that term, the supercritical case, then blow up can occur. The solution goes to infinity, and there's a special dividing line that balances the powers of these terms where power m equals n plus 2. That's the critical case where what happens is a little more sensitive to the conditions. It's going to depend on the mass of your initial data. And actually, so the unfortunate physical side of this problem is that the actual physical case with m equals n equals 3, liquid dripping from a ceiling in the lubrication model, is subcritical. So this model actually doesn't say liquid will drip from on the ceiling. So if you do have a leaking ceiling, don't blame this equation. It's real fluid dynamics, so this equation falls short. But an equation of this class that is at that critical case is this one, where n equals 1 and m equals 3. This one will have more interesting dynamics and will show blow up. And let me go through the properties of this, and I'll look at it on a nice mathematically convenient periodic domain. So the mass is conserved. I can actually rather rewrite this PDE in a slightly different factored form. It's often called the Reynolds equation, where I'll write this as a mobility gradient, a divergence of a mobility coefficient times a gradient of a pressure function, where the pressure function here can be seen as contribution from a surface tension term and kind of a body force term due to gravity, destabilizing gravity. But that's normal gravity here would be just a linear term. So this is not quite the normal physical force that we expect. But this is a more convenient factored form to look at this PDE in. And this PDE dissipates an energy of this form, the form we've seen several times in the previous talks today. And that energy is dissipated at this rate, which is conveniently written in H times gradient of P squared. So that's some of the basic properties of all the solutions of this equation. Another nice property you can see is that solutions can blow up in finite time. If you look at the evolution of the second moment of solutions of this problem, the derivative of it evolves like that, which is actually 6 times the energy functional. So if you had initial data that had a negative initial value, well, okay, the energy is decreasing, and if you started off with initial data that had negative initial value for that energy, then you'd find that the second moment has to evolve to become negative in finite time. That's not possible because the solution is strictly non-negative. It's positive or zero everywhere. So that means the second moment has to be a positive or zero for all times. So there's a contradiction, and that contradiction between this and that can be only resolved if the solution ceases to exist at some finite time. So that's what happens. It ceases to exist because the solution blows up, and you can't continue it past that time. And this argument actually gives you a good estimate for the maximum, an upper estimate for when that blow-up can happen. So rigorous analysis of this has been given by Ripozzi and Pugh in 2000. So what else can I say with this equation? So we can actually see a condition on the critical mass for the initial condition that will tell us if blow-up can happen or not, or at least we'll see what we can say. So if we look at the energy, the energy has this gradient squared term contribution and this potential contribution. I'm going to rewrite this potential integral in terms of this integral inequality, which has a sharp constant here. And this is true on the real line in one dimension for a nice class of functions. And rewriting it in this form has the advantage of, oh, now I have this term here and here, I can factor that out, and then I have this term, which I can see, it can change sign depending on whether the mass is greater or less than this critical value. Critical mass is 2 pi times the square root of 2/3. So we actually find a nice explicit formula for that critical mass. And if the mass is less than this value, if the mass of the initial condition is less than this value, then the energy is bounded from below, so we can show that blow-up can't happen. If the mass is bigger than this, we can't prove anything, but it's suggestive that something else might happen. In fact, I'll show you that blow-up does happen for generic initial data. But let me look at self-similar solutions to see. Okay, I need to go. How much time do I have? Okay. I need to go much faster. Okay, so I'm going to look at first-type self-similar solutions, which I'm going to get just from simple dimensional analysis scaling arguments. I'm going to rescale everything, and I'll make the PDE invariant by choosing appropriate bounces between the height and length and time scales, and I find that the appropriate combination, that invariant quantities are length divided by time to the 1/5 power, or time to the 1/5 power times height. That picks out similarity variables in terms of length, spatial position divided by time to the 1/5 power, and I actually allow myself some wiggle room to say either time can go from 0 to infinity, or it can have a finite critical time where things stop. And I'll throw in a fudge factor, sigma there, which I'll allow to switch sign be the plus or minus 1, depending on which case I'm in. And I'll look for self-similar solutions. I'll look for similarity solutions in this form. So think of this just as a change of variables, which will be convenient for studying the different dynamical behaviors in this problem. So that was my length and time scale relations. And these relations actually yield 2 classes of self-similar solutions. I can either look at the limit t goes to infinity, which will correspond to L going to infinity, so the horizontal length scale of this is getting larger and larger as time increases. So this is kind of a defocusing solution that's decreasing in amplitude, so it's kind of dissipating. It's a lowering, spreading, Gaussian kind of solution. Or I can look at the other limit where t goes to 0, something's happening at a finite time, and then the length scale is also going to 0, so whatever's happening is focusing down to a particular point, and the height scale is increasing to infinity, so this is the blow-up case. And we'll see the connection between these. So using that change of variables with the similarity variables, I can rewrite all of the solutions of the PDE in terms of the solutions of this PDE for this capital H of spatial variable and logarithmic time variable, or logarithmic time variable in this form. So this is basically the same PDE as I had before if I make the association S equals T, eta equals X and capital H goes to little h, and I make sigma equal to 0, so I can drop that term. But if I keep sigma equal minus 1 or sigma equal plus 1, then I can also describe the blowing up self-similar solutions or the spreading self-similar solutions all in one package. So I can study three cases of dynamics, the dynamics, all in that one equation. So I can get steady states and the different classes of self-similar solutions all together. And let me first talk about the positive periodic solutions of the steady states. So I can have my steady states are either constants or these periodic steady states, and I can get a bifurcation diagram for that. And these periodic solutions are all unstable, and the branch of the periodic solutions ends where the minimum goes through zero. And then I'm not accepting negative solutions, that would be unphysical. When it hits zero, I start picking up compactly supported droplets that have quadratic touchdown, and then there's zero outside. So they have compact support, and they have a definite shape, and that's the limit of these solutions approaching this point. And I can write down a simple differential equation for that shape, and I can, in fact, calculate the mass of this droplet solution, and actually it has the same mass as the critical mass. And this droplet solution is nice because it has a length scale and a particular height scale, but that these solutions are scale invariant. I can make it narrower and taller, or stretch it wider and make it a little shorter. So those are scale invariant, in fact. So those we generate a large class of steady state solutions from that. And I'll also, the self-similar blowing up and spreading solutions also look like these droplets. In fact, I can write down what these droplets generally look like. They look kind of like a quartic equation. They touch down quadratically, and they have a quadratic maximum, and they satisfy this equation where this capital P is a constant. I call it the generalized pressure. And there's a compatibility condition, so solving for this profile is actually a second-order non-local problem, or I can rewrite it as a third-order differential equation, depending on which form is more convenient. And, yeah, all of these drops look alike to me. I've been looking at them for years, and they all look exactly alike, but their dynamics are different. So the steady-state drop is a steady state, and it only exists at the critical mass, but it's scale invariant. There are spreading solutions which lower and spread, and they have masses. There's a continuous family of them parameterized by the mass, and there's also blowing up solutions. And I'll quickly give you the highlights of what goes on with them. So a phase plane argument shows that there is only one type of spreading solutions. The spreading solutions just look like this single bump. There's just one maximum. The same phase plane argument does not apply to the blowing up solutions, and in fact, it's because it's not true for the blowing up solutions. There are an infinite family of multi-bump blowing up solutions. The first one looks like a single bump, single droplet. The second one looks like 2 max, 3, 4, any number you want. And I'll skip over some of the details of the asymptotics and showing you how the multi-bump solutions are related to the steady states, to tell you about some of the insights you can get from looking at the numerical simulations of this. So this problem actually has two kind of singular behaviors you have to deal with. Blowing up is one problem, but these lubrication equations also have a major difficulty with touchdown when the liquid thins out and you expose dry surface. There you get contact line problems. At a contact line, the dynamics of contact lines are ill-posed in these problems, meaning that they're not supposed to move, but we observe in physics that contact lines really do move, so there needs to be some regularization or modification of the equation to allow for those dynamics to happen. And one regularization of this problem is to modify the mobility coefficient to prevent actual touchdown. And that was one modification was suggested by Bernice and Friedman, and I'll use that. And this includes a small regularization parameter to prevent, which actually, this change prevents the solution from actually touching down to zero. So let me show you a quick movie of here is the same blowing up solution I showed you before. And if you look at the base of it, the base of it actually goes, looks like it's going to zero on this scale as the maximum is going, it's growing larger and larger. Let me show you the same picture on a logarithmic scale so we can focus on the details of the at the contact line better. Oops, wrong one. And let me plot it for several values of that regularization parameter, the epsilon. Assuming my computer does what it's told. So that was the initial condition, and this is the first time step. And if I decrease epsilon, then the minimum decreases. And as I let this go to later times, I see the minimum decreases and saturates at some minimum level set by the magnitude of that epsilon. But I see for the solution above that critical cutoff regularization value, all of them seem to be reproducing the same behavior in the middle. And you can see away from the minimum of the solution, to the minimum level, someplace below that line, the above the line, we can see all of the numerical simulations behave the same way. Below the line, those are kind of regularization-sensitive effects. Those are somehow the regularization scheme coming in. But we see the dynamics being reproduced pretty well all up to blow-up. For the blow-up is behaving well. The touchdown behavior has to be controlled by the regularization that we have to add in. And there are actually two different routes to blow up. You can have touchdown first, or you can just have blow up without touchdown, but I won't go into that since I'm running out of time. I just want to show you an interesting thought experiment. What if you had two drops, each with less than the critical mass? So each drop should lower and spread since each drop doesn't have enough mass to blow up. So that's what they'll do. They'll lower and spread independently, but at some point, the two drops start to merge, and then the total mass I picked for these drops is going to be bigger than the critical mass, so they'll start to blow up because the PDE will realize, oh, well, this total mass is actually the total mass of one single solution on this domain rather than two separate independently acting solutions. Let me show you the dynamics of that quickly. So there's the two separate drops, and then they're lowering and spreading. So this looks like dissipative dynamics for a while, but then they merge together, and then there's a single mass for that conglomerate, and that mass is enough to cause blow-up dynamics to happen for later time, and then the solution will stop existing in finite time. So how did this kind of transition from one class of self-similar dynamics, dissipative to blowing up solutions, happen? The full story is still somewhat of an open question, but if you look at the pressure function, you get kind of a hint. The pressure function for self-similar, one of the self-similar solutions or the other, is parabolic profiles. For self-similar spreading ones, it's a parabolic profile concave up. For a blowing up solution, it's concave down, and I'll just end by showing you the simulation that shows its parabolic profiles corresponding to the drops. You see the profiles at the bottom, and yeah, they're parabolic, and there's a jump in the pressure at the contact line, and while the two pressure profiles are separate, they're still spreading, but then the pressure jumps merge, and then some ensuing transient effects happen, and then eventually we start to get a local maximum of the pressure well-defined, and it grows and matches the self-similar blowing up solution. And I think I'll leave it at that since I'm running late.